From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and I am thrilled to have as my guest this week Bob Losey, the Legislative and Political Director of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union. How you doing, Bob?
Doing great, Robert.
Hey, Bob, now you've been with the National Association of Postal Mail Handlers really for your entire career. You started with the Postal Service in 1981?
That's correct.
What'd you start as?
I started as a rank-and-file member of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union.
And you came to Washington in 2007?
That's correct.
And you came to work to run in their legislative shop, right?
I worked under the tutelage of Roger Blacklow. I was his assistant legislative and political director. 2 years later, I took over the political aspect of our setup, and Roger kept the legislative. And then 2 years after that, Roger retired, and I got both jobs.
Wow, that's great.
Sense, yeah.
That's great. And just so our listeners know, Bob and I have been friends ever since he came to Washington.
Absolutely.
And we've worked collaboratively together within the Associated Postal Employee Associations, as well as in the Federal and Postal Coalition, which works on legislative and political issues
Correct.
On behalf of all federal and postal employees.
And more importantly, Bob's a Mets fan instead of a Yankees fan.
Right.
And that's why we get along so well.
Right, and Bob is a Boston Red Sox fan.
Yes, he is.
Anyway, let's start talking a little bit about postal politics.
Sure.
This past week, the Gallup Organization, which is the preeminent polling operation in the country, conducted a survey, or reported on a survey it conducted last year, with regard to the approval rating of federal agencies. And once again, the Postal Service ranked number one as far as approval. Now, what's also interesting in that data is that the approval rating was 74%. What's interesting, Bob, in that rating is that the partisan gap between the Republicans and the Democrats is rather small. That is, the approval rating amongst Democrats was 76%, and members of the Republican Party were 69%. So there's only a 7% gap. Now, in your experience dealing with the postal issues and federal employee issues and labor issues, does that surprise you?
No, because as you know, Robert, we haven't had really postal reform since 2006. And every time we either have a resolution or a piece of legislation we're trying to get co-signers on, we're usually pretty successful on both sides of the aisle. And I think that attributes to it, Bob, as well, that everyone loves their post. I mean, the average person, the post office is the letter carrier. For you guys, obviously, you have a lot of members that work in small facilities as supervisors. All our members are in major cities and processing plants, so they don't get to meet the mail handler or, in some even cases, even the clerk for that matter. But it's the oldest institution in the country. You think about it, it's 248 years.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Pretty old.
248 years. We've been doing it right for a number of years. And Bob, I'm still one of these guys. I'm 63 years old. I still write letters and cards and throw them in the mail. I just think it's so important to get a piece of mail, not necessarily an advertisement, but a piece of mail from somebody that cares, a loved one, a friend. I'm always sending cards out. I have a stack of them in my office, and I'm consistently sending something out like that. I just think people like the post office for many reasons. And we're not going to go away. We're going to get better and stronger, and we're going to improve on what we already have mastered, in my mind, at least.
Now, we've both have worked the House in the previous Congress, the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Now it's called the House Oversight and Reform Committee.
Right.
And We've noticed a bit more partisanship this year than in the previous year, despite the fact that our continued champion on the Republican side is Mark Meadows, who's probably one of the most conservative members of the House of Representatives. Now, is it the party is moving? Are there less postal-friendly members of the Republican Party on that committee? What's going on?
I think, you know, Bob, a lot of times it's on us. The onus is on us to educate the new members. And as you know, our committee, from Congress to Congress, they're recycled in and out, new members. We get a lot of the new members. Look at the Democratic side, how many new members are on the Oversight Committee. It happens on the Republican side as well. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while you get a seasoned veteran that's put on our committee as well. But I just think that's the case, Bob. I just think that our committee is one of these committees that members come and go, even though we have some long-standing members. But I just think that new members seem to cycle through first through our committee.
Now, with regard to the new members on both sides mm-hmm. of the dais, they need a lot of education, it
Absolutely.
Appears. Although I would suggest that with the infusion of some veteran members like Debbie Wasserman Schultz on the Democratic side, there's internal education going on also.
Well, there is. And think about the other Democrats that are on that committee, the Steve Lynch's, the Jerry Conley's. Danny Davis is not back on it, unfortunately. Yeah. We've had Danny Davis on and off a couple of times, and Danny Davis, no one knew the Postal Service as good as Danny Davis, we didn't have a better friend in Congress on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, again, what I said to you earlier, we have some seasoned veterans. I mean, Mark Meadows has been amazing, if you think about it. Now, Mark Meadows will not be our friend on other issues, mm-hmm. Working class issues, as far as I'm concerned. That's just my opinion. But on the Postal Service, as long as we keep him on that issue, I think he's very valuable to us.
Now, you and I both were at or watched the hearing a couple of weeks ago mm-hmm. Where it was on the financial condition of the Postal Service right. and operational condition of the Postal Service. And Mr. Meadows had a slight disagreement with the Postmaster General. And leaping to his defense yeah. was none other than Jerry Conley.
Polar opposites.
But good friends,
but
and able to
friends.
And able to work together.
Both of them have stated that in the past, how well they work together, and they do consider themselves. And you got to remember, Mark Meadows is close with Chairman Cummings as well.
Mm-hmm. And the future of postal reform in the House committee may rely on Mark Meadows continuing
yep.
to be the yep. prime Republican advocate for postal reform, because he knows the issue, and the Postal Service has a strong impact upon his congressional district.
Absolutely. If I'm correct, Robert, his area is mostly rural.
It's right, northwestern part yeah. of North Carolina. I mean, the largest community it's not even in his district, but the largest community to his district is Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's Congressman McHenry's district, if I'm
right.
correct.
But, you know, so we're working with these members of Congress, and there are a whole slew of these non-binding House resolutions that have been popping mm-hmm. up with regard to six-day yep. delivery, door delivery,
service
against
standards.
Privatization, yep. service standards.
There's one more we're missing.
Anti-privatization service standards. Oh.
The Lynch one. No, that's anti-privatization.
Mm-hmm.
There's four of them. There might be five, Robert, but the big four were privatization, service standards, six-day delivery, 5-day delivery, rather, and home delivery.
Door delivery.
Door delivery.
Door
right.
delivery by Susan
yep.
Davis. Yep. Yeah. And that, what impact do these non-binding resolutions have on the views held by the House Oversight and Reform Committee?
That's a great question. And I think resolutions, and people will say, well, resolution's not a piece of legislation. It's not a bill. That's correct. What it is, Robert, when we do drop a postal bill, we can look back at the resolutions and see how many members signed on. I mean, our goal always is to go over 218, which will give you the majority. And the last Congress, Bob, if I'm correct, every one of those resolutions went over the 218. It's just a marker that we can use for future support once we drop a postal bill.
Well, it's a signal to those who might be crafting the business plan on behalf of the Postal Service, the Board of Governors and the
right.
Postmaster General and senior staff people, as to what is sellable on Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. That if you have over 218 members of the House of Representatives, let's say, supporting the continuation of six-day delivery, it becomes that much more difficult for the Postal Service, as it had tried to do in the past, to reduce the frequency of mail delivery.
And the other one, Bob, of course, that's extremely important is the service standards.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot lower our standards any longer, any more than they are currently. We need to reduce that. We need to go back to the 2012 July 1st. We want everyone to use the Postal Service. And UPS uses us, and FedEx uses us for the last mile in a lot of instances. But we want the package business is booming, Robert. That's one thing. But we need people to go back to using first-class mail as well.
Yeah, this past week, the Postal Regulatory Commission issued its report evaluating the scorecard, the report card of the Postal Service, whether or not it met standards that it already had set. And I think with the exception of one category, parcels, I believe, the Postal Service failed to meet its own imposed service standards.
And the reason for that, Bob, is they're trying to cut out of, they're trying to just cut to try to even off the score. And it's not going to work that way. You don't cut services to try to straighten out your budget issues.
Right, and it's about timeliness of delivery.
No one's going to use you.
And it's about length of lines at a post office, whether or not you get the right answer when you call into the 1-800 number for the Postal Service. If you're not getting the right answer, or if you're put on hold for an inordinate length of time, you're frustrated. But here's the irony. Here's the irony. Whereas the Postal Service is falling in terms of its sort of meeting its standards, its approval rating still is way up there.
How many years in a row is that now, Bob? 10?
A long time.
Yeah. I mean, every year we're chosen as the most trusted federal agency.
And that's another study. That's done by the Peniman Institute from Michigan, which is the most trusted. You have the Pew Institute do another study, and then the Gallup organization does the study on approval rating, and they all rate the Postal Service
number one.
Right.
And that's, again, year after year, Robert.
Year after year. If you hear some background noise, Bob and I are doing this podcast outside on a terrace, and they're doing a little bit of construction, but we're within a hailing distance of the Marine Corps barracks down in Washington, D.C. So a shout out to Bob also, who is a former Marine.
My son, not me.
No, your son. Well, Semper Fi.
Thank you, brother. The only thing I'm complaining about, Bob, does not have a Belvini 14-year scotch next to me.
Well, next time.
There you go.
I mean, we go a little pedestrian with Glenlivet 12 sometimes.
There you go.
Let me ask you this. Within the labor community and the Postal Service, what is the labor community's priorities with regard to seeing a postal bill move?
Well, as you know, the four postal unions, the letter carriers, the rural letter carriers, the clerks, and the mail handlers have been working in a coalition with a bunch of mailers as well, printers, mailers. And in some instances, we have the PMG on board as well. For the good of the service, we need a postal bill. I mean, you think about it, Bob. The last time we passed postal reform was 2006, December
2006, in a lame duck session of Congress.
Was it like 3 o'clock in the morning or something?
Something like that. I was asleep.
Yeah, it was crazy. And they made some mistakes when they did it. The pre-funding issue was the major problem. We need to straighten out the pre-funding issue. We need to put the Postal Service back on its feet. And, I was talking to Congressman Connolly recently, who's been a great advocate, him and Congressman Lynch and Congressman Cummings, Congressman Meadows. We have the Postal Service doesn't have any borrowing power left. It's $15 billion. We had a $15 billion borrowing power from the Treasury. That's gone. We need $3, $4 billion just to upgrade our trucks, our vehicles. We have trucks that are getting 8 miles to the gallon. And it used to be, Bob, I don't know if it's so true today, if gas went up 1 cent, it would cost the Postal Service
around $1 billion.
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. You can't have that. So The postal bill is paramount, Bob. We need it passed. We need a good postal bill. We don't want to have to come back 2 years from now back to Congress and say, we didn't do this, this, and this. Let's do it right. Let's get it straightened out. And again, the unions, the associations, and the coalition is working together to try to push through good, solid postal reform.
Now, last Congress, we were successful in at least moving a piece of legislation
unanimously
by voice vote out of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, introduced by a Republican member of Congress, Jason Chaffetz, then followed by Mark Meadows.
Right.
We haven't seen a bill introduced yet this Congress, a comprehensive bill.
All right, and I think that they're looking towards July now to potentially reintroduce. And I say reintroduce, I think it's going to be similar to what was in the 115th Congress.
And that provides sort of
some relief.
And it provides a safe harbor for the Republicans
right.
to join on to a bill, in fact, that they could get their hands around.
And the problem with Congress, and it has been for a number of years, you have, I'm going to say it, lunatics on both sides of the aisle, extremists on both sides of the aisle. Common sense has to come through. Again, 248-year institution. Before our country was formed, the post office was already in working. How can you not protect? How can you not make it thrive and grow? And I think the American public would be outraged to really know what's going on, that we can't really push. We're pushing hard, we're trying, but we really need to pass comprehensive legislation.
If you look at what the administration is pushing and what you're hearing from some members of the pro-privatization caucus in Congress, led sort of inspired by the Cato Institute that testified at the House hearing, one would think that privatization and regulate or limiting the universal service obligation would solve all problems.
Yeah. Look over in Europe, Bob. Look in Asia. What happened over those two?
Yeah, the rates, particularly in Europe, the rates spiked.
Yep.
And service went down.
It didn't work. It's not going to work here as well.
Now, let's talk a little bit about privatization. With regard to mail handlers, the folks who you represent,
right.
What impact would privatization have on your members?
Well, so I always tell people, back in 2007, there were 785 processing plants throughout the country. Currently, we're down there to the low 200s, I think 232, 231. Privatization came through, we'd probably have half that number, if not less, of processing plants. And the problem with that is, Bob, they would take the areas of the country that they can make money on and drop the areas that they couldn't, such as rural areas, or it would become so expensive that no one would use it. That's the fear of privatization.
What's interesting, what I've been raising with other folks, is that the two agencies that it appears this administration would most like to privatize is the Postal Service and the Veterans Administration. And as I point out to members of Congress, and this morning I pointed out to a freshman member, Congresswoman Underwood from Chicago, is that the Postal Service is the largest employer of veterans in the United States.
It is.
So privatization or any effort to damage the Postal Service, either purposefully or inadvertently, would harm American veterans.
Absolutely, Bob.
So that's something that we all need to work and fight against, privatization.
At one time, it was 29%, Bob, of all postal employees were veterans. I think it's like 24-25% now.
Wow.
That and DOD are the two highest by far, but... we got to protect our guys and gals that came home from overseas. They should be able to get a job that can support their family, help send their kids to college, buy a house, all the normal things that a middle-class family looks towards.
Now, final question, and, you know, moving a little bit from postal.
Is this going to be Jeopardy?
No. Final question. Double Jeopardy.
Double Jeopardy.
No. This is a final question. Is in the area of benefits and retirement, mm-hmm. one of the issues we're sort of protecting ourselves against are efforts to increase retirement contributions
right.
and also to reduce cost of living adjustments and pension out.
Right.
What have your folks been doing to sort of help fight against those
Just
efforts?
Just contacting members saying it's absurd. A post office pension, like a federal pension, is not, you're not going to be rich when you retire. You're going to make enough to get by. you know, to eliminate, and I'll go to the president's budget the last 2 years. He wanted to eliminate COLAs for FERS employees. He wanted to reduce CSRS annuitants COLAs by 0.5%. He wanted to go from a high 3 to a high 5. These are things that they were promised when they started their jobs. And again, nobody is living in Beverly Hills or any expensive area around the country on a post office pension. It's just not happening.
And these are earned benefits.
Absolutely. These are negotiated earned benefits, which is just as even more important.
Right. In any case, that's about all the time we have for today. So I'm going to thank Bob Lucy, the legislative and political director of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union. This is Bob Levy. Until next week.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.